Woo-woo! Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your week. Guys, looking at the snake draft, I think I may have my first runaway ever. We're early. We're early to be sure, but I've got 57% of the vote after about an hour.
First of all, I'm assuming whatever check you cut for Keyshawn is a sizable one. I'm going to assume that because no one points shave without getting something for it. So I don't know what you offered, Key. I don't know if you said I was going to help you pack and move. I don't know if you said you were going to help him unpack the boxes on the others. I don't know what you said, Key, to make him pick the fly as opposed to Freddy Krueger or Michael. But, yeah, you're going to win this easily.
LZ, give us your NBA draft analysis on what Keyshawn just did. Who's on the board and who to keep
it? Why do you get so excited about this stuff, Rob?
Because it just tickles my fancy. Go ahead, LZ. How would you tell us during the break?
Because KD was on the board and you picked Greg Oden. Because Michael Jordan was there and you picked Sam Bowie and let him get Olajuwon and Jordan. You had LeBron James, you went with Darko Milicic. I can go on and on and on. This is awful, Key. I can't believe you did this to me.
Well, I'm leaving on Friday, so.
Yeah, we can. I think you may have left right before the snake draft.
Which one of those deals, as they say, when somebody starts to get ready to leave the building, they just kind of let things just go and just let
check
it go.
Out
and don't
long
care.
Check out.
Long before in. Yeah, I might be there. I might just decide to say I'm going to screw over LZ and make sure that he doesn't win another draft and give them all to Travis.
Hey, look, I'm just going to throw this out there, and you guys can do with this whatever you'd like. Of the last six or seven snake drafts, this is going to be my third win. So I'm in a little bit of a roll here. I'm just saying that I've got a little bit
Still behind some
forward
momentum.
Behind. I'm still behind, but I'm closing fast. I am closing fast. The Lakers need to figure out what they're going to do for the next 6 to 8 weeks without Rajon Rondo. He breaks his right thumb in practice yesterday. He's going to have to get surgery on that thumb. And, you know, it really is as simple as this. Obviously, they're going to miss him. Obviously, he's a very important part of that. I mean, his nickname is Playoff Rondo. But they got LeBron James. And like every LeBron James team since he stepped into this league as a teenager, it's on him to get it done or not. And if it's successful, it will be because of him. And if it's unsuccessful, it will be because of him. That's the way it'll go.
That's absolutely. As long as you got 23, you got a fighting chance. When you don't have 23, then it ain't going to work for you. And the Lakers still have 23. They got AD. They got Dwight. They got everything that they need. Having Rondo obviously gives them a different level. It kicks them to another level. Not having him in a short period of time, you could possibly see some struggles. But, look, LeBron James have carried me, you, and LZ on his back and won championship. So I don't see why he can't continue to hold this thing together until they get Rondo back for important minutes. Okay? Important minutes of understanding how to play in playoff games, understanding how to be a floor general in distribution of the rock, getting guys off at the right time, those sort of things. Now that burden has to be carried with other guys being able to step up, whether it's a Kyle Kuzma, whether it's a Rick Caruso, whether it's a Cook, they all need to step up, J.R. Smith, because the centerpiece of the team is LeBron and AD. And everything around it on the outside, that ain't nothing but appetizers. The main entree is in the center.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as long as we got the guys that we really leaned on night in and night out to get us there, we're fine. We're fine. I'm not really worried. As I've said before, Rondo is a great player. One of my favorite players, especially during that little run when he was with the Celtics. Just so versatile and so fearless and a hell of an athlete, too. Hell of an athlete. But for this incarnation of the Lakers, they can win a championship without him. It's just about whether or not you have the luxury of having him.
Well, I don't think so.
I
absolutely do. But here's what I'm saying is when you say I think they're fine without him, I don't think that they are. I think that their margin for error just got really small. And now, and I agree, as long as LeBron James is playing basketball in this league, you got a shot. And you got a pretty good shot if you've also got Anthony Davis on your team. That is a great opening bid. But I mean, this is not just an NBA thing. This is a playoff thing. This is a sports thing that, especially when you're doing series, right? When you're doing best of seven series, at least one game per series is going to turn because somebody that's not your best player and somebody that's not your second best player has a really big night, has a really important stretch of 8 or 10 minutes in a high leverage game. We know what we're going to get from LeBron. We know what we're going to get from Anthony Davis. That's a given. And to answer your question, LC, yes, I think that's enough for them to win a championship. But the reason I really liked their chances before was because those extra guys that can get a game for you in a series, that can win a game that maybe LeBron, instead of being an A-plus, is an A-minus one night. Or maybe one of your other guys, maybe a Danny Green, who instead of being a B is a D and having a bad night. That's when a guy like Rondo can slide in and have a really big game and kind of grab one for you. And without that, everything comes back to LeBron. And just having to carry that much weight night in and night out, I know he's capable, but it's nice to have that little safety valve. And right now that safety valve is gone.
Yeah, the safety valve is gone to a certain extent. Because I do have, and I said this at the beginning of the season, and you guys were laughing at me, and I'm going to say it again. I got faith in Caruso. I really do. I really feel as if he can come in and seamlessly run the offense. It won't be run the same way that Rondo runs the offense, but the drop-off won't be so significant that the offense grinds to a halt.
And I can believe that. I can certainly believe that. But they got – you know, you coaches always have a number of plays in store for guys that have to replace other guys, systems – that they like to run when guys are on the floor or on the field. I mean, so the Lakers coaching staff, I would argue, if people thought that they were not prepared, that they're prepared. They're prepared for every single scenario. That's what good coaches do. They prepare to be successful. This may happen. Well, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? What are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? Okay, it's situational ball. And then they're put in the situation now without Rondo that they're certainly prepared for because they've been without Rondo in the past. So they know what that looks like.
Now, I will say this, though. If something happens to Caruso, now I'm nervous. Now I'm nervous because now you're looking more towards maybe a Deion Waiters eating up more time as a secondary sort of playmaker, and I don't really know what that is.
Well, this is the whole point, right? That every time you peel a layer of this off, you're less likely to win because of what you just said. I'll see that if something happens to Caruso or something happens to KCP, when guys are repeatedly unavailable, and we know Avery Bradley's gone for good. He decided not to go in. Okay. Can you withstand that? Sure. Not a problem. We've got multiple options. We're still fine. Now, all of a sudden, you add Rondo onto that. Now it's two guys, and they're, you know, not the same position, but at least in the same portion of the court. And you just start stacking these things up, and those margins get smaller and smaller. And even for a great player like LeBron, even for a great player like AD, when those margins get to that point where it's razor – and I would say this, too. It's incredibly unfair – that if it doesn't go the way that we're all hoping it'll go for the Lakers, that somehow this is going to be on LeBron. I know that that's what you sign up for when you are the man, when you're the king, but they're not going to lose this championship because LeBron did not play well. We know he's going to deliver a certain level of performance, but that will not be the story. The story will be, oh, LeBron didn't get it done again. That's what will happen, and it has nothing to do with it.
True, but I did see LeBron James win two games against the Golden State Warriors without neither Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving. So I'm going to lean towards thinking he can find a way to get a championship without Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo. Like I just feel as long as he's got the right horses in play, we're fine. There comes a level in which depth is not a necessity as much as a luxury. And in the backcourt position, depth is a luxury for us. It just is. We signed two guys off the street, and both of them can go off on their own at any moment. Like, this isn't like, you know, we picked up some guy and like a Jose Calderon, and he's just going to dribble the ball up the court and not impact the game in a significant way. Shouts out to you, Jose. I still think you're a good player. But Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, we know those dudes can get the rock and win you a quarter by themselves. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine.
Mm. This feels a lot like we're trying to talk ourselves into something as opposed to
It feels more like you're nervous, Travis.
Don't be nervous because there's two dudes that's here, Batman and Robin.
Hawkman to come in and save anybody. Anyway, Hawkman was just there.
LeBron James and AD can carry me and you in LZ to a championship.
Look, you guys make it sound like the other teams don't have dudes. They have dudes too.
They ain't got two dudes in the top five.
I mean, maybe not the top Legion, five, but the Legion Clipper of team Doom. Has guys.
The Legion of Doom is a scary, scary group of guys. With the Swamp Thing guy and Lex Luthor. I get it, Travis. I get it. But we just lost Hawkman, right?
Okay.
We still
what you're saying.
Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. The Justice League is going to be fine.
I like this. I like the Justice. And you know this stuff better than I do. So you fill in the Justice League / Marvel pieces that I'm going to get wrong here. But in the handful of Marvel movies that I have seen, whether it's Iron Man or whoever it is, every once in a while, Hawkman does come in and save the day. Every once in a while, that Iron Man's about to get killed by Thanos and somebody else knocks him off for 5 minutes and distracts him. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about all of a sudden Rajon Rondo needs to be LeBron James or anything like that. I'm not talking about somebody has to come in and be the best player on the team for a series. I'm talking about exactly what you just said, that Hawkman moment where Superman is tied up and he can't get away and Hawkman cuts the rope and allows him to come back and do his thing. Who's going to cut the rope?
All right, first of all, I don't like the way you keep mixing in Marvel and DC.
You need to pick a universe
and stay in it. It's very offensive. You keep going back and forth.
I feel like Key with Darth Vader.
Same thing. Move on.
But in my analogy, if you remember Travis and Key, the guy who really saved the day was the smallest guy in the universe, and that was Ant-Man. And we still got Ant-Man. So I hear what you're saying. But Caruso is Ant-Man, and in the moments that we need him, he's going to show up in really big moments, and I got faith in him. I just do. I think he's a baller.
I hope so. I hope Ant-Man is here to save the day. All right, comedian Roy Ward Jr., he's going to join us next. He's going to give us his thoughts on the snake draft and some other stuff as well. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Yeah, yeah. All right. We did another snake draft this morning.
Did we? I don't feel like we did.
One of the best ones we've done. Key, you won the Friday one that got finished over the weekend, but we did another one this morning, our favorite old school horror movies. Joining us right now to talk about that and some other things as well as comedian Roy Wood Jr. Woo-hoo! Joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Friend of the show, Roy, good to talk to you again. How you been?
Yeah, man. Happy quarantine to you and yours, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. Fine, sir. There's so much to talk about in the world today, but let's start off with the story that broke over the weekend between Jada Pinkett Smith and one Will Smith and the entanglement that has no names.
Listen, what happened?
My Illuminati application is still pending. Therefore, I will be refraining from discussing any business of any of the more elite cabinet members of said Illuminati. Thank you very much.
I'm with you on that, Roy. I ain't gonna get in folks' business. If that's what they decide to do.
You ain't getting into their business. They were on the internet sharing their business. You ain't gotta get in. It's on display.
I can't discuss them people's business in the public setting, man.
The one thing people need to take away from this is young brothers under 30, just know if you're messing with a sister over 40, she might put it on you. I'll say this much about the whole thing. Whatever album this brother do next is going to be the most amazing R&B album of all time, because you're going to know that hurt coming from a real place.
It's gonna be some early Mary J. Blige stuff. Like, that's what you're trying to tell me.
You know, when Mary J. Blige, when Mary J. after she got divorced, man, she was on Essence Fest jumping around and ate it stilettos.
It hurt deep in the
core. You a better artist. It just does. You perform better when somebody didn't rip your heart out and stomped on it.
Roy Wood Jr. joining us here on The Morning Show. Roy, what about what's going on in the NBA? The players have been sequestered inside the bubble for 3 days, and we already have a tweet from an Instagram model saying that people have been reaching out to her to get her to come inside the bubble. How long before someone gets into that bubble? Has it happened already?
The bigger question you should be asking is how long until somebody gets tossed out the bubble and the police get called? How do you handle a domestic dispute inside the bubble? Like if your wife quarantining in the next room and then she hear the headboard banging, you're not going to be able to keep them out. Okay? you're not. What they should have done, if the NBA was smart, what they should have done, they should have been pre-quarantining models. They should have already had them down there marinating a month ago. So you know they all good to go. And then you go, listen, like the players should have turned in a list of the people they want to quarantine so that those models could have already been there waiting and chilling. Of course, not the married players.
See, that's exactly what we try to tell you, Travis. The real ones were already there.
Look, I don't like you addressing me directly on this stuff.
Yeah, they was there. When did the players all arrive? Last week,
about
right?
4 or 5 days ago.
So everything was taken care of a week in advance. The Vance team had already scouted everything out: exit doors, elevator shafts, everything. So all that's taken care of. There's a few.
I can tell you right now, if them players don't get their medicine, it's going to be a lot of technical fouls. You're going to have to give every team 3 tests per player because there's going to be a lot of anger on that court if they can't get their medicine to 4 or 5 months straight. It's just going to be a bunch of dudes. It's going to be.
Roy, you know, obviously this pandemic has affected sports, which is why we're talking about the bubble, but it's affected all of us. And I'm just curious from your business, you know, how is the industry planning on coming back if we still can't have a good crowd in clubs and things of that nature?
Well, you know, comedy right now, I think Chappelle gave us kind of a blueprint with 846. I think outdoor is what's happening right now until the weather turns in the fall. There's a lot of comedians doing drive-in shows. They're doing stuff out on stoops. I'm not out there yet because I just feel like at a lot of these clubs, the crowd is still too close to the stage. And I'm joking, but I'm serious in the sense that they talk about that 6 feet. 6 feet is a casual conversation. A laugh is not a casual exhale out your body. A laugh, damn near the same thing as a cough, if we're going to keep it 100, in terms of how fast air leaves your body. So I need a comedy moat between me and the people up front, and I don't think the club owners have figured out that part. If I come off stage, just corona all over my ankles. No, thank you.
Roy, every couple of days on this show, we'll do a snake draft, and we get to pick our favorite whatevers. Today's was we picked our favorite horror movies of all time, and I'm going to read you 3 different lists, and you tell me which of these 3 lists you think is the best. You ready?
Ready, ready.
All right. List number 1 is The Fly, Aliens, Exorcist, and Scream. List number 2 is Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Rosemary's Baby, and Salem's Lot. And list number 3 is Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, American Werewolf in London, and The Shining.
Oof. Number 2 is out of there for sure. Number 1, I don't like The Fly, but I love The Exorcist. So it's like you've got a 5-star recruit and then a 2-star that you just drafted because you're friends with his daddy. And because you know every year there's one player get drafted. Even with The Fly on the list, I'm gonna go list 1. I like The Shining. Here's the thing: American Werewolf in London was reality, but it doesn't hold up. I'm looking at the intrinsic lifelong qualities of these films.
The
Exorcist is still horrifying to watch. Scream still has some shots. I almost consider Scream more of a thriller. That's more slasher gore. That's like into that Saw category for me. But the mental horror, that's the stuff that I really rock with. It's the mental stuff.
Roy, if I can make a suggestion, you need to get on Twitter and vote for that list because it's in dead last place.
Yeah.
you need to get on there. It's only got 17% of
the
vote.
And that's because when we teed it up, Roy. Roz sitting up there poking fun at it and trying to and making the minds of the people sway.
Because you picked the fly. You picked the fly out the gate. That's why. You picked the fly out the gate.
Fly is great. Roy said it is good.
Yeah, y'all poisoned the voting pool. I'm not saying The Fly wasn't a bad movie. The Fly had its scary parts. It just wasn't as jumpy horror like, say, Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th. The tense, dark, shock moments like Halloween. It doesn't have that. But The Exorcist, man, The Exorcist is GOAT. That's just GOAT. That's The Exorcist, low-key, it's Jordan, and it can drag The Fly up and down the court and make him The Fly. In that lineup. But you got Jordan, so you just have to respect that list just off of that. I'm shocked. Was Critters one of them? Was Critters or Gremlins one of them? Or do y'all consider Gremlins a comedy?
I think Gremlins is a comedy. You got scared from Gremlins?
I think movies are only as scary as when you were still a coward as a child. And at the time, when Gremlins first hit, I was still, you know, the little night paralysis, seeing demons, you know, the night terrors, they call it. So I used to see Gremlins in my sleep, and then my mama took me to see Gremlins, the movie. Oh, I was done. I didn't see part two till college. Had to straight lay low. Yeah, I think it's The Exorcist, man. Little demonic white baby, the white dude come in, try to fix the white baby, and he leave. You know it's bad when the priest goes. You're on your own.
That's true. But then you see Rosemary's Baby? That was messed up.
It's the thing about Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street is that when you look at the life of the franchise and the number of people, Freddy and Jason are on Mortal Kombat now. It's like y'all are a joke.
That's what I said. I said after the first couple, I'm done with it. It's cool if it's on and I'm watching it on the drive-by. But I'm done with that. It's the number one. Yeah, back to one and two. Yes, that's it. Other than that, you ain't got nothing for him.
The Fly ain't got no music. It ain't got no theme song. You can't think of one gory. What was one death? He didn't even kill his girlfriend. She
he just starts falling apart. He just starts dropping his arms and legs off.
But it's still
didn't
gross.
He shoot himself with a shotgun? No, she shot him with the shotgun, right?
She shot him. Yeah, she How you going to be a villain and you get killed? Come on, man.
He asked for it, too. He moved the shotgun. Yeah, damn. I see what you mean, Key. They are swinging the vote because they almost swing.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? That's okay.
He's on our side.
That's
He's
okay. Side they can, they, look, that's okay. They can have it. They can have the snake draft. I don't want it anyway.
Listen, Roy, it's like this, Roy.
The best horror movies are the horror movies you don't want to watch again.
Right. All I'm saying is that when you look at the entire landscape of the NBA and you decide to go with, let's say PJ Tucker as your first overall pick, you ain't saying PJ can't ball, but come on, dog. Come on.
Well, everybody got a different way of putting their team together.
Okay, Mitch Trubisky. You keep telling that.
Well, they didn't know Mitch Trubisky was going to be as bad, and they didn't know Patrick Mahomes was going to be.
Yeah, that didn't work out super great. Roy, the Lakers going to come out of the quarantine? Never mind who's going to go into the bubble. Do the Lakers come out of the bubble with the title?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people are forgetting that the Lakers are still playing for the legacy of Kobe Bryant, and you ain't going to beat legacy. Like, when you're inspired to play for the legacy of someone, nah, man, you're not gonna stop that. This is a terrible analogy, but it's like in Rocky III after Mickey died and Rocky got up and beat the snot out of Clubber Lane. That's the Lakers.
I'll take it.
Just getting up and just dish ragging the rest of the league. I also don't think it's fair though to put an asterisk on it because it's in the bubble because of all the different conditions and certain players are opting out and all of that stuff. It's still hard to sit in a bubble and just only do this with no friends, no family. You ain't got none of your side chicks. Do you understand the frustration? They should get two trophies. whoever win this championship should get two trophies. You get one for being in the NBA and one for surviving the bubble. Here's a bigger question about Corona and sports. Do you still pass the trophy around when you win. Like, you know, at the end of the championship, everybody be kissing on the trophy, rubbing on the trophy. Are we still doing that, or does everybody get their own individual miniature gift shop trophy? Because I've seen like all idea. These old championship foot. There's a lot of slobbering on the trophy, a lot of drooling, a lot of rubbing.
That's a very, very good question.
Yeah, I don't really want to think about it. It's gross.
Everybody get corona at the ring ceremony. That's messed up.
Well, once the season's over, we don't care. We're just trying to get to the end of the season.
If I was in the bubble, I'd be trying to get eliminated first round. Me home.
Roy Wood Jr. joining us here on the morning show. You can find him on Twitter as well at Roy Wood Jr. Roy, thanks for coming by. We look forward to talking to you again. Thanks a bunch.
Key, I got your back. I'm going to go vote right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, once he sees it in print, Key, I think he's going to change his mind. It doesn't, pop off the page at you.
You're trying to sway the vote. Man, ain't something else.
It's called campaigning. It's called campaigning. All right. Kenley Jansen has coronavirus. What does that mean for the Dodgers coming into summer training and into the regular season? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Y'all wrong for this.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
Hey, stop stepping on the beat, man. Hold on.
That bass, though, LZ. That bass.
That bass, baby.
You're going to dance to another man's tears, LZ. This ain't cool, man. I expected more out of you.
Yeah, I was going to say, LZ, this is a little out of character for you, I feel like.
Then y'all ain't been paying attention. I'm trash and basic as hell.
I don't know, man.
Entanglement. Yeah. I mean, turn it up. Put that up.
Whatever you like, I guess. Jeez.
Somebody's speaker just moved.
Yeah. Keith,
y'all need to stay out of the Smiths household, okay? If Will Smith and Jada Smith decide that this is what they want to do with
their family. They went on TV. What are you talking about?
come on, man. Oh, poor August. Hey, ain't that his name, August?
Yeah, first rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, poor guy, man. He just
– You bring it up on torn. TV.
He's torn, and, you know, he liked her, man. You know.
She called it an entanglement.
She was, you know, she was trying to figure out which direction she wanted to go with her life, man.
That was good, man. I wonder if they workshopped that first. Like, should we say affair?
I mean, branding is important.
It's like affair. Affair sounds bad. No, don't say affair.
Liaison?
Entanglement. Entanglement.
That sounds like it could almost be like a car accident. You know? We got a little entanglement down there on Ventura Boulevard. It's fine. Insurance is going to take care of it.
They certainly have gotten a buzz out of it that they want it. That's for sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, if that's the goal, mission accomplished. Key, you need to make sure that you get Roy on the phone because you're going to need him to vote for you. You've got 17%.
I don't care. I'm leaving on Friday. Now I take that approach. Number 17.
Now you're getting mad.
Number 17. Yeah, it doesn't matter anyway. Oh, this is all.
You got to take him in with third place.
It's fine. It's okay. All right. That's the one thing for sure you guys could keep. I'm taking the snake draft.
Yeah, you ain't stealing this one.
Chef Warren, you guys can have this little snake draft stuff.
Not the same.
I will take the win. I will take the win for sure. All right. Kenley Jansen, we were kind of speculating last week that the fact that he had not shown up at Dodger camp was not a good sign for all of the obvious reasons. And the obvious reason is what it was. He initially tested negative, then tested positive again. It looks like he caught the virus from his 4-year-old son, Caden. He said he was pretty sick for a while. He started to feel better by the fourth day. Quote, it is real. Everyone in the world, just take it serious. Wear your mask. Trust me, it happened so fast. And this is the fear, right? Because baseball is going to be played in stadiums, because baseball players and teams are going to be traveling, riding on buses, staying in hotels, in and out of ballparks, that this is probably going to be the norm in Major League Baseball, where guys test positive and miss stretches of time.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you'd have liked to have seen Major League Baseball when they were putting this whole Arizona thing together several months ago before LZ and them broke out in you know, crazy numbers, that they would have a bubble similar to the NBA. The problem that you have in this situation is that not only Kenley Jansen or any other player that is going home. It's not that they're going to the clubs and they're going to restaurants or partying. He was simply at home with his four-year-old son. Mm-hmm. And four-year-old son could have been out playing on the swing set somewhere or anything. Could have, you know, walked into an aisle in a grocery store after somebody sneezed. And the kid probably, you know, contracted it. And then all of a sudden he gives it to the dad. Now the Dodgers make a decision not to tell us about it. We had to guess what it was and go around and try to figure it out. But this is the sort of thing that can derail the baseball season, where all of a sudden, simple as just being home and following the CDC guidelines and the rules that are put in place by Major League Baseball, and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, one player gets it, the next player gets it, and it just completely collapses an entire team. Now what?
And this is the reason why I just don't understand why baseball couldn't just do the freaking bubble. Like, this isn't rocket science, right? This is – it was so clear by May, what needed to be done in order to try to bring back a sport. And the fact that they were first hung up on money and number of games being played, and then they still didn't get it right because they're not enforcing the bubble, which is the best opportunity to actually have an uninterrupted season as brief as these 60 games are. Because it doesn't take much to become exposed. You know, as I mentioned, you know, I went and got tested this past weekend because even though I was practicing social distance and I was had hand sanitizer and tried to stay as clean as possible, you just never know what you may have missed. I may have forgotten that I put my phone down and then scratched my eye and then boom, that's it. It's something could be innocuous as that. Or I got too close to someone who I had assumed didn't have the coronavirus for whatever reasons, but then they were just a carrier or something. Like, it's so easy of a communicable disease that a bubble is the ideal situation, and it wasn't something that was brand new. We've known that for some time, and now that they brought it back without a bubble, I'm asking, what are you trying to accomplish here? Because it can't be a season without a hitch.
No, well, look, this is why it's so imperative that you have depth, and it's so incredibly important that your manager understands contingencies, because you're going to, like we were talking about the Lakers a second ago, right? That Frank Vogel's got to have a contingency for Rajon Rondo, and you slide Alex Caruso in there. Okay, that it's player for player. But in baseball, especially for the Dodgers, you have to have a contingency for everything at this point, because the trickle-down effect, if you lose your closer, it's different. It's a different fix than if you lose Clayton Kershaw or Walker Buehler. It's a different fix if you miss some of these guys in the middle. If you lose Mookie Betts, it's different than if you lose Justin Turner. They're all of these different things. And with baseball being out in the world without that bubble, you're going to have to get so remarkably creative in the way that you manage these things, because you're not going to have guys. You're going to have guys here. They're going to leave. They're going to come back. They may leave again, or a different guy leaves. That if your manager isn't creative and he doesn't have contingencies for stuff that we haven't even considered yet, your team is dead in the water. That guy sitting in that chair, and that is absolutely the most important thing going into this. And I've never said that about a baseball season in my entire life, that the manager is the most important piece in this baseball season. I believe that he is.
I think so. And I said this at the beginning when this all happened and got to the 60 games. One of the first things I said is this is going to have to be the skipper's most important coaching or managing that he's ever done, because you got to do it different now. You've got 60 games to get it right. And out of those 60 games, you only can afford to lose a certain amount before it starts to look real bleak for you. With lineup changes, pitching, how many innings, who you bringing in, who you starting, who you moving around, all of those sort of things where you didn't have to worry about those things in a normal season. You had the luxury of doing it the traditional way. This is not such the traditional way anymore. Now, I think, but I also think that he's smart enough to know that, and he's smart enough to throw the analytics out the window. The analytics side of it has been driving baseball for so long. I think we get back to the normal way that we've always seen baseball growing up, watching it, Travis, where the managers were an important part back in the days.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right about that. And not that this team was designed like this, but if there was a way to design a team in an era of coronavirus, you'd want it to look a lot like the Dodgers, with as many flexible guys as they have in that roster, both in the rotation and in the middle relief, and not to mention their entire lineup, that they just have so many guys that can do so many different things. That gives Dave Roberts the ability to make those decisions. Two Lakers made a decision that I think caught quite a few people by surprise. We'll tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So we're hearing more guys that are going to put some messages on their jersey. Of course, the NBA said they put together a list. I believe it was 30 options that if players wanted to put that on their jersey instead of their own last names, they're going to be able to do that. LeBron has opted not to do it. Anthony Davis has opted not to do it. Let's take a listen to Anthony Davis explain why he made that decision.
I think just getting our chemistry again. You know, we had a couple months off, and you know, we're on a great roll. Getting you know, Deion and JR adjusted to our system and to our team, and building that chemistry now that we have. Excuse me, we don't have guys here, so just trying to rebuild our system, rebuild our chemistry again, and getting ready for.
You know, I don't think this is the right cut, guys. I think that there's a cut where he's talking about that it was a difficult decision. He explains where he's talking about it being a difficult decision because he wants to represent his own name, that he feels his own name. He's put a lot of time and effort in living his life a certain way, that means something. And LeBron was saying also that I don't need to do this for people to know what I'm about. I don't need to do this for my work to continue to move forward, that had I been given the opportunity to choose my own thing, I might have done it, but it doesn't mean I don't support the effort. It doesn't mean I don't support the process, but I'm choosing not to do it because everybody already knows what I'm about.
Yeah, and so at the end of the day, I agree with him as far as that goes. I was a little surprised that there was no message to be sent by him, but I also understand both LeBron and AD or why they've taken the stand that they've taken. You know, yes, they've given them 30 of the messages. I haven't looked at all of them, but, you know, it's – obviously, the most popular one probably is going to be Black Lives Matter. You know, that one probably is probably going to be the most popular one on the jerseys. But if guys were given a choice to put their own messaging on the back of the jerseys, I think you would see a larger number of players participating in it. Even though the NBA has been in the forefront of giving their players the leeway to kind of be free to do whatever it is they wanted to without all these restrictions put up on them, this is one that I think the NBA, to a degree, they got it right, but they kind of got it wrong. It could use a do-over just to allow the players to express their own desires and feelings. Let them make that decision on what they want to do. You don't make that decision for them.
Well, based upon conversations that I've had with players as well as executives, you know, the thing that I sort of spoke about and the things that I heard about was that there was probably a comfort level in terms of how pointed the messaging would be. I had spoke to some guys about, you know, including the names of the police officers who killed Breonna Taylor, who are not in jail right now. And so every single time someone asks, well, whose name is that? You get to bring that up specific. And there was a level of comfort or discomfort rather with being that pointed. So even though something like equality and Black Lives Matter are, you know, very, very popular phrases right now, obviously, there is still a level of genericness attached to them because they aren't calling anyone specifically out. And some of the guys that I spoke to and some of the guys that I've been in conversations with, that is exactly some of the things they wanted to do. Like, have the officers who killed Breonna Taylor's name on their jersey, have the officers who killed George Floyd, on the back of their jerseys, so that the messaging wasn't generic, but was very, very pointed as to what exactly was on their hearts and on their minds.
You know, I go back to a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer than that, and having the conversation with both of you. And I was upset and I was really skeptical that by the time we got to basketball, baseball, and all these things that are going to be played, that we would have been not talking about this stuff as much as we still are. And you guys both told me, no, Travis, it's different this time. This is not going to go anywhere. And I've never been happier for you guys to be right and for me to be wrong. Because even without a slogan on the back of the jersey or a name, and whether it's one of the approved 30 that the NBA is offering to its players or whether they had gone another direction and said, you guys can put whatever you choose to put on there and we'll sign off on it in a case-by-case basis. That's fine. And if that's what they want to do, great. And if that's not what they want to do, also fine, because this conversation has really not been diluted at all. That maybe it's not us spending 4 hours a day on it, but it's coming up every day. We're still talking about it every day. The players in that bubble are going to talk about it every day. The league is giving its players the opportunity to talk about it every day. That the media going that's going to be in that bubble will ask questions about it virtually every day. And so while this is a nice gesture, and I understand what they were trying to do, it almost doesn't matter. And what I mean by that is not that it wasn't a good idea. It's that the message is still front and center, and we're talking about it constantly. And I think that's what they were trying to do with this, but it's unnecessary because it's still right here in front of us every single day.
This is just the greasing of the pan, so to speak, when you get ready to pour the cake mix in. You can use oil and flour. You can use butter and flour. That's just an added bonus to it. Like you said, Travis, they didn't need to really do it because the message is going to be sent anyway. We're going to talk about it every single day. You know, whether I'm in New York or I'm in L.A., we're going to discuss it. It's not going anywhere. I wear my mask that says Black Lives Matter every single way, everywhere I go. Okay, so I'm sending the message. LZ's in the message. You're in the message. Raj, he hasn't figured out
yet. He sends the wrong message.
Yes, he sends the wrong message, exactly. But it's being talked about constantly over and over and over and over again, and not just being talked about. Things are being done. Players are donating money. You know, corporations are donating money. People are actively protesting, doing things to make it stay alive.
Well, you know, the thing that's so interesting about this conversation is that part of the reason why Key and Travis, it stays alive, is because racism is such an intrinsic part of this society. There's so many aspects to it, so many layers to it, that there isn't going to be a one quick boom, 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 and we're done, we're moving on. I mean, there are so many aspects to this conversation of racial equality that it will be impossible, if you're being sincere, to wrap it up quickly. You know, there's multiple tiers. There's being anti-racist, which is tearing down the construct that created the system that we're in to begin with. And then there are the people who are lending resources to uplift the race or to aid disenfranchised groups. And that's a different sort of pattern. And then you have the political aspect of it, obviously, but then there's just the cultural touchstones, which is what the Washington slogan was, which is what the Confederate monuments are, which is how our education system is structured. You have white people wondering why they were never taught about Tulsa, why they never knew about Juneteenth until this year. And so when you look at all the different aspects of this conversation, it's impossible to sweep it under the rug because it's so big. It's massive. And you know, the crazy thing is, guys, and I'm about to really break some stuff down to you real quick. Racism is such a part of our society that when someone says Black Lives Matter, there are people who feel the need to say USA, because the very notion of equality for some people feels un-American. That's how racist we have been as a society, that you can say Black Lives Matter, our lives matter, racial equality, and people get angry and they want to scream USA.
You know, there's another piece of this too, with LeBron in particular, that I think is just remarkable and an incredible credit to him and who he is. And I'll tell you guys what it is next when we come back on the morning show on 710 ESPN.